ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a big gay morning. Happy gay morning, everybody.
Hey.
6 minutes after the hour. Actually, I'm not walking on sunshine here in L.A. It's raining.
Very much so.
And very particularly, it's raining in my kitchen.
Yeah.
It's not important now. Sure, it'll be fine. 1-800-STEP-12.
Just move the toaster out of the way of the...
Right.
Or unplug it or something.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number to reach us. Toll free to join the party. Speaking of which, day two of Jim's cat is missing, sadly, and he will not be joining us. But Jackie Schechner for Jackie's Healthcare Corner, she's good luck getting here in the rain from Santa Monica. But
they're already like 8 or 9 SIG alerts all over the basement.
No, I grew up in Buffalo. It rains here, and people in LA cannot drive. It's there's moisture. I'm just saying, when you were doing donuts in the blizzard of 77, my friends, I'm just like, let's go, you pusses, go.
Well, you drive like a maniac anyway.
Just go. It's just water. Anyway, all right, so Jackie hopefully will join us earlier than usual today. Mm-hmm. And Lucas Grinley, editorial director for The Advocate, because as I mentioned, it's a big gay day.
Yeah, not only Arizona, but Texas.
Let's go, Jan Brewer.
You know, girl. Sugar and spice. It ain't a man's world.
I wish I could go to a big gay pride weekend. Oh, I think I will. I'm flying to Fort Lauderdale tomorrow for Sexy Liberal. I did Tom Hartman yesterday, our good
you
friend.
You did Tom Hartman?
Our free speech TV colleague to promote Sexy Liberal for Gay Pride Weekend in Fort Lauderdale. Tickets almost gone. Very, very excited. John Fugelsang will join us tomorrow, Sexy Liberal.
That's right.
Before we all wing off to Fort Lauderdale. What a great timing for Gay Pride, because Jan Brewer, and we had said yesterday that was the latest thinking, is that she was going to veto it, and she obviously did, in case you've just tuned in. Who better to celebrate with than...
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good gay morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. So that was not unexpected, I guess, and yet a relief, yes, in Arizona?
Yeah, it was certainly a relief. I've heard that it's a dry hate in Arizona.
Yes, that's a John Fugelsang joke, my friend. I got to stop you right there.
I've seen it all over the place.
Yeah.
But I will say, say what you will about Governor Skeletor.
Right.
She did the right thing here. Mm-hmm. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So I'm happy that she vetoed it. Now, I fear that had it not been for the massive outpouring of support for the LGBT community by the business world, that, LGBT people would be second-class citizens in Arizona, and that we'd still be facing all of these bills all over the country.
And Carl, we were saying yesterday, I love that it's not, love of fairness for your fellow American, but love of football, perhaps, that...
Well, you know what? However it got done, it got done, and I'm happy that she vetoed it.
Well, I'm happy she vetoed it, too. But we need to be resilient and realize that, a lot of... So, for example... for about a couple years now, there have been these efforts in really conservative states to restrict women's access to abortion in really extreme ways.
Mm-hmm.
And in a few of them, they've either been vetoed or they've been struck down early by the courts, and we get really excited and happy, and then 3 months later they try a different way of doing it.
Right.
So what they do, it's kind of like just testing the limits of what they can get away with.
This was the second try on this one.
We need to remain as vigilant as we were before.
Yeah, this is the second try on this one. You know, I had forgotten, by the way, speaking of Super Bowl fun facts, that why that may have been one of the biggest, factors is they've lost the Super Bowl before over the Martin Luther King.
93 when I was living there. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and people.
20 years ago,
I remember I was talking to somebody and they said, oh, yeah, that must have happened in the 70s or the 60s. And I said, no.
Right. They were the last state
in the 90s.
Right. They were the last state to recognize Martin Luther King.
Well, they had the holiday. Then Governor Meekum rescinded the holiday, and that's what pissed everybody off.
Okay. Anyway, so Carl, the thing is, of course, you raise a good point in the sense that this is in a bunch of other states. So now you go, okay, great. Well, this is one victory, right? But, you know.
We need to watch this like hawks because, you know, yes, it's been pulled back from being offered in Georgia and Ohio and Indiana and a few other places that it was getting, you know, ready to be offered as legislation. But that doesn't mean that it's been pulled off for good. Somewhere in this country, some right-wing governor is going to think that he can get his, you know, right, you know, lose his right-wing cherry with the crazy activists, and he's going to push this through and sign it.
Well, yeah, Brewer said the bill could divide Arizona in ways we could not even imagine, no one would ever want. Well, yeah, you could imagine if you read the bill. So you can imagine how it would divide.
What she said at her press conference was a bit different than what she wrote in her letter to the sponsors, where she kind of acted a lot more conservative and empathetic to their cause. You know, to watch what she said in front of the cameras, you know, what she said was really great. She talked about how Arizonans don't want to do this and they don't want to discriminate. And I think those are all good messages. And I'm, you know, frankly, very grateful for the business community for standing up for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, exposing this stuff. The biggest mistake they've made here,
I guess, gay people's money
is
gay
proving
money.
That all of these things are about animus towards gay people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, gay people's money works too, I guess. I guess they can
my
pass
favorite,
those
I mean,
checks.
Seth Meyers said this: these bills are the nice shirt, nice shoes, no service legislation.
Good message from the Democratic National Committee. All GOPers, Arizona GOPers, must have amnesia with no gays allowed. You already lost this argument 50 years ago. You don't get to decide who sits at the lunch counter.
Right.
Now, Carl, we were talking about other states. The similar religious protection legislation has been introduced in Ohio, Mississippi, Idaho, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. Arizona's plan is the only one that had been passed by a state legislator. The efforts are stalled in Idaho, Ohio, and Kansas. Where what troubles you the most, or which is the next place you think we're going to have to keep our eye on?
I would bet that Kansas might take another go at it, but I think it'll fail again. And I know it's been pulled back from the brink in Georgia and Ohio. Well, Georgia, I think they might go for it again, but it's been pulled back for now there. Ohio, it's been they've just dropped it. Indiana, they've just dropped it. Idaho, they've just dropped it. So. It doesn't take much to get these things picked right back up, though. So we need to be vigilant watching these things, and we need to realize that the reason that the religious liberty issue was picked up, and the reason that you're seeing it when we talk about Obamacare and contraception, too, is because the religious fundamentalists have pulled the issue and realized that the only argument they have left against gay people that works with the middle in this country is the notion that somebody's religious liberty shouldn't be trampled, and they've gone too far with it, and therefore they're losing. And we need to keep watching this because there's nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I've been saying, and I know I've seen that echoed elsewhere. Is just that I think because particularly marriage equality is moving at such breakneck pace. I mean, when it happens in Texas, that these are like the last gasp. You know, desperate attempts of people that are really freaking out.
It's the Alamo for the right wing,
you
will.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That was good.
Let's talk about
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm holding
Carl.
On to that one.
Federal judge voids Texas gay marriage ban, though he delays order from taking effect immediately. That's still a big deal, right?
It's a huge deal. Well, I mean, we all got spoiled by Utah's incompetence, okay? It is standard practice for these decisions to be stayed until they've worked their way through the appeals process. In Utah, they just had an incompetent attorney general who forgot to ask for that in his motions leading up to a decision. So we got spoiled by that over the holidays. It was a nice Christmas present. But these decisions are going to be stayed until they've managed to work their way through the appeals process. The great thing is that, you know, what it means is that in another couple months, we're going to go through an entire round of federal circuit court decisions around marriage equality, and we're going to win those too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. Our sexy liberal cause for Fort Lauderdale is going to be something related to marriage equality for sure, because I think, you know, once that happens, Carl, you can't do any of
they've got those marriage equality lawsuits going on in 21 states right now.
Yeah.
And we have not lost a single one, and we're kind of just chipping around the edges at all the different facets of of how marriage equality is necessary, whether it's being recognized from another state, whether it's, you know, wanting survivor benefits. All of these different pieces are being approached. There's one lawsuit where a gay couple were denied the use of the Affordable Care Act because their marriage was not recognized in their state. There's all kinds of little things that are being done to approach the marriage argument, and it's only a matter of time. And, you know, we need to, as a movement, we need to start gearing up for the inevitability of marriage equality and start pivoting towards other issues like the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and other things. Because while it would be great to get married, it would be great to be in a marriage where I don't have to worry about losing my job because I'm gay.
Yeah, there you go. You tweeted why religious conscious exemptions on same-sex marriage and LGBT people are bull. I read a great line from the Washington Post. As patriotism can be the last refuge of scoundrels, so religion can be the last refuge of bigots.
It's true.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the whole argument, I mean, it's really meant for simpletons. If you stop thinking about religious liberty just with if a baker doesn't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding, they shouldn't. Well, okay. And then they start saying things like, well, a kosher bakery shouldn't have to make non-kosher foods. Well, if they don't offer non-kosher foods, then they wouldn't have to make non-kosher foods. I mean, it just gets ridiculous at that point. All the different ways, if you're going to allow discrimination, that discrimination could play itself out. What if an evangelical didn't want to provide a wedding cake to a Catholic and a Presbyterian, and so on? What if a hospital didn't want to provide services to a divorced woman, or didn't want to provide emergency care to a person with HIV,
and so on?
You can just play it out in a crazy fashion.
It's a very slippery biggity slope, you're right.
It certainly is, and we need to make sure that people know that, and that, and this has really become a losing argument for them, and it's precisely what the anti-African-American bigots pivoted towards as they were losing the civil rights fight. They wanted these exemptions that allowed for religious discrimination.
Yep. Carl, real quick, I wanted to touch on a couple other things. You also tweeted, I've appeared many times on TV opposite Jack Berkman.
Oh, God.
I won't again after his bigoted anti-gay publicity stunt.
People misconstrued what I meant by that. I didn't say that saying that I would never choose to appear with him again on television. Because he's a bigot, he's never going to appear on television again because he's a bigot.
Yeah.
Therefore, I won't appear with him on television
right,
again.
Okay.
Carl, can you, would
I mean,
you mind?
He's not a very bright guy. He was an easy debate on television. So
for that,
I'm
that's
happy
a loss. That's a giant.
With him. I just don't think I'm going to be given the opportunity again.
That's a giant loss for our side. Hey, Carl, would you mind hanging on? There's so
sure.
much to talk about Uganda. We haven't gotten to that yet. Can you hang on?
Absolutely.
All right, look at that. Ooh, we're holding Carl Frisch over for a super break. A big super gay break.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Carl Frisch on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're breaking out the big gay song list today.
Well,
okay.
You know.
All right. Settle down. 25. Something on my teeth? Okay.
Yep. Okay. 25. I tried to be subtle.
Thanks. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Aw, that was love.
Aww.
All right. Governor Jan Brewer yesterday.
I call them like I see them, despite the cheers or the boos from the crowd. After weighing all of the arguments, I have vetoed Senate Bill 1062. Moments ago.
Oh, I love that, Carl. Somebody's booing and crying this morning. Boo! We can't be mean to gay people anymore.
We can't have tacky things.
Carl, so we were saying, obviously, Arizona was the good news yesterday. Texas, obviously, the federal judge striking down Texas's ban on marriage equality. Meanwhile, in Uganda,
right,
the president has signed the life in prison for being gay bill. And I love that's, I guess, their version of tolerance in that they took out the death penalty.
Right. I mean, we're not going to be killed for being there anymore.
Right.
And a lot of countries are pulling their aid to Uganda, so we'll see what happens there. And Secretary of State Kerry has sent very strong warnings to Uganda about this. Now, what's interesting to me is that all of this time we've been making tremendous progress here in the United States. And we've been under the assumption that when we win here, it's over. And that maybe the right-wing crazies who are against gay people would go away.
Right.
They are going away. They're going far, far away.
Thank you.
And they're going to places like Uganda and Russia and Nigeria and other places and sowing the seeds of homophobia to much more friendly audiences.
Did you I'm wondering if you're referring to Sally Cohn's piece in the Daily Beast about the family, and this is exactly, I mean, and this really is disgusting. I mean, and we talked
There's
about this yesterday.
There's a lot going on right now.
Right,
about this.
She says facing defeat in the American culture wars, the family and its ilk looked elsewhere, including to Uganda. You know, and they are directly responsible mm-hmm. for this kind of legislation. And we're talking about people like Rick Warren and people that, you know,
and
you got to read
Scott Lively,
this
who
right?
is being, you know, on trial right now in Massachusetts for crimes against humanity by an LGBT group from Uganda. So, you know, in the run up to the signing of this legislation, it's not been all peachy keen. It's not like you gay Ugandans had been living, you know, a normal life. There are newspapers there that have been saying the top 200 most notorious homosexuals.
Yeah.
And then those people are basically hunted out of their villages, and a lot of them end up dead.
Yeah.
Well, it's like in Russia where you see those young teenagers who are using social media to meet each other and are being kidnapped and tortured.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sally Cohn, you know, finishes. She says Uganda's anti-gay law is not just an international disgrace. It's an American disgrace. And the American religious and political figures who played a role in spreading vicious homophobia in Uganda, whether actively or by turning a blind eye, should do more than just denounce the country's law. They should denounce their own role in facilitating
it. Oh, it's absolutely true. And the biggest thing is that, you know, we've noticed that the debate in our country has kind of evolved to where the anti-gay bigots just won't say certain things about us anymore to our faces because they know it turns off people in the middle here. They have no, you know, problem saying nasty things about us in foreign countries.
Yeah,
all the things
yeah.
that they used to say about mm-hmm. us.
Yeah. Well, if we ever had, you know, more evidence why elections matter, Carl, you know, in an election here in 2014, it's all of this stuff going on, the Supreme Court, marriage equality, and as you also, we've been talking a lot about Keystone and environmental issues, and you say the SCOTUS has heard a case that will determine the future of U.S. greenhouse gas regulation. So that's why it's important, right, to get out, you know, and vote.
Right. Elections have consequences. You know, Governor, you know, we had to worry if Governor Jan Brewer was going to veto the legislation. We wouldn't if her Democratic opponent would have been there. Or if she'd had a Democratic legislature, it never would have seen her desk. When we think about these court cases at the Supreme Court, who the president is matters.
Yep.
We wouldn't have to debate whether or not greenhouse gases should be controlled and regulated
yep.
by the EPA.
Carl, we're out of time. Thank you, honey. Right back.
Have a good one.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner joining us live in studio as soon as she can get here.
Yep.
In the rain in L.A.
Good
and
luck.
Then she will be on panel with us with Judy Tenuta, along with Judy Tenuta for Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal. Very, very exciting. Oh, Alan, by the way, said, Steph, Carlos hit it out of the park yesterday. Yes, he did. Carlos Alzraki also came and covered for Jim yesterday. And, oh, I know, we were talking about the 200-year-old douche that archaeologists found under New York City Hall.
Yes.
And he said, talk about Dr. Leakey.
It's very funny.
Okay. All right. Let's go to where is Teresa in Utah? You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Therese.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm so happy that you're on Current.
I'm on actually Free Speech TV now. Current is muerta.
Oh, I mean free.
Right.
Free speech. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Because if I were on Current, that would really be something.
Yeah.
I would have gotten in a DeLorean. But anyway, go ahead, Therese. What did you want to say?
What I wanted to say is I heard you and Carl talking about the Attorney General in Utah.
Screwed up.
Yeah. Well, actually, what happened is our Attorney General, John Swallow, was so corrupt, he's now being investigated by his fellow Republicans and resigned from office.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, they probably are doing it because he's incompetent at the homophobia.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Utah was only, I just read an article yesterday in our local paper that Utah was only one step away from the same law that Arizona the governor just vetoed.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, like Carl said, we have to be vigilant on all this stuff because they're going to keep trying. This was Arizona's second try. You know, it's like Uganda. You know, like, let's soften it a little bit. Okay, we won't execute the gays. How about life in prison? And the Arizona one, they took out like one provision and thought, oh, well, now it's much more inclusive. Okay, Governor Jan Brewer yesterday, after
Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona. I have not heard of one example in Arizona where a business owner's religious liberty has been violated. The bill is broadly worded and could result in unintended and negative consequences.
You know, I don't like her for a lot of things,
yes,
but she really did a good job with this one.
Well, that and expanding Medicaid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's to me, that's just a human thing. It shouldn't be partisan.
Right.
To let, you know, millions of poor people in your state suffer because,
right,
you know, you want to make a political point against the president.
Right. And even though, you know, the veto of Senate Bill 1062 was done via economic purposes, some states, that's the only way you can get something like this done,
is
through economic purpose. So if she got it done through that way instead of through the right thing to do, which, you know, wouldn't fly with her constituents, then she did the right thing.
Then we are lost as Americans.
Well.
Okay. Mike in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I think that you guys go about this a little bit the wrong way because I've been listening to your show for 3 days, and anyone who disagrees with you is either a right-wing extremist, a religious fanatic, naive, all the name-calling.
Don't think I've called anyone that.
It's a little bit childish because I agree with the law, and I am not religious whatsoever at all. I have no problem with gay people at all, and I agree with the law. And I know a lot of people that feel the same way I do and have no problem with gay people at all. So
you have no problem with gay people at all, but you think business owners should be able to not serve someone because they think they might be gay?
Yes.
You think that seems fair as an American?
It doesn't matter if it's fair. It's a private business.
Right. It's not constitutional, though. These laws would not pass constitutional muster.
Yeah, the state legislature doesn't get to decide who sits at the lunch counter.
No, they don't. The business does.
No. Businesses can't, you know, they have to serve black people, too.
You know, Mike, I hate to say it, because maybe I'm going to fall right into your stereotype, but if you're not using religion, then to me that is just bigotry. I don't have any religious, you know, belief about gays, then you're just saying it's okay to discriminate legally. I mean, that's just not the principle.
It is, though, because I live in California,
right,
which is more liberal than Arizona, and we can refuse service to anyone in a business.
Right.
Because they know that if
Mike, the 1964 Civil Rights Act covered this.
You
can't. I understand what you're saying. If somebody is,
belligerent whatever.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
But you can't discriminate in America on the basis of someone's skin color or sexual orientation.
There, yeah.
Okay, so how is that restaurant going to know you're gay?
That's my point.
Exactly.
so they can refuse
service to you even if they perceive you to be gay.
That's not your point. If that was your point, you would explain how they're going to know.
Okay, that's my point. Doesn't that open the door to a lot of blatant discrimination? How do you know someone's gay?
How do you think they're gay? Is the business going to survive? That's the whole point. The business is not going to survive if they're going to discriminate like that. They're going to lose business.
That doesn't mean that it's okay in America to say it's okay to do that. It's not constitutional.
I didn't say it was okay. My point is, you got to stop calling people names and acting childish anytime they disagree with you.
Well, I always act childish. That's a separate issue.
Yeah, you've only listened for 3 days, so
there's a lot more
where
that
came from.
Of
the show.
I think a question of basic fairness. I don't think it has anything to do with. I agree with you on that. It shouldn't have to do any with religion or even party. That's why a lot of Republicans came out against this. I think my dad would have been against it. Barry Goldwater would have been against it.
Well, I come from a business perspective, and I know the businesses are not going to thrive if they're going to refuse every gay person, and they're not even going to know who's gay anyway. So I don't know. I don't.
Right?
I think businesses should have the right to.
But how is it any different than saying you can't discriminate if someone's disabled or someone's black or someone's?
Yeah. Lunch counters in the South were thriving before the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, it's 2014, dude. Businesses aren't going to thrive on discriminating against gay.
How do you know that?
How do I know it?
How do you know that?
Because it's obvious.
It's not obvious, dude.
The world could end tomorrow.
All right, so you're saying we should be able to write discrimination into our constitution and the free market will decide.
No, you're claiming that legislation is forcing businesses to discriminate against gays. No, they're not. They're giving the business has an option to refuse service to who they want.
No, not to who they want. There are protected minority classes in this country, in most states, California included. Arizona doesn't include gays in the protected class.
Mike, can't you see the difference between saying no shirt, no shoes? Like, they have a right to go, you can't come in here without a shirt or without shoes. They don't have a right to say you can't come in here and be in all black or being all gay or being all Jewish or whatever it is.
They don't have to give a... You guys need to look up the law. In California, I can kick someone out of my business and not give a reason. Say, I don't want you in here and not give a reason. So you need to look up the law. You don't know
you
the
cannot,
law.
You cannot refuse service simply because a person is a member of a protected class. That is illegal, dude.
You don't need... Okay, see, here goes... He's now trying to make fun of me because I said the word dude.
No.
Here you go.
No.
So now...
You're kind of an ass.
It's not name-calling. No, now you're name-calling.
He was kind of an ass.
I apologize for my dude that works with me. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, this is the point. I don't have to give a reason. I don't have to give any reason
it's
to
different
kick someone out of the business.
This okay. All right.
You cannot refuse
service
to a person just because they're a member of a protected class.
I don't think you're an idiot or a dude. I just think you're wrong. All right.
He's
but thank
dude.
You.
He is a dude. He's not a chick. I could call him a chick.
My point is, you can't write it into the law. Yes, I understand you could refuse service to someone. Okay.
You can't,
you know
but
what?
Like I was saying, you cannot refuse service to someone just because they're a member of a protected class.
Thank you. Sue in Rockville, I need Sue to soothe me. Hello, Sue.
Good morning.
Because
if
you
give
would
me a couple
say,
minutes out, I will try very hard. First of all,
call him a fidiot. Don't do it.
No. Caller, listen to me. I am a small business owner who listens to both sides.
Oh, God.
Now, I have an online business. I can sell or not sell a book to anybody who sends me an order. And when I get an order from someone who's a repeat customer who's been a bad customer, I can pretend that I don't have that book anymore. And note, I'm not discriminating based on his anything other than I don't want to sell to him because I do have that right to not fill an order. But if I have a brick-and-mortar store and I open my doors, I cannot just turn away business to people who come through public roads where I am serving them and I have public utilities.
Right.
And simply...
Well, somebody made that point yesterday, I think, Sue, that that's right. Gay people, they pay taxes for the road that comes to your business.
Exactly.
You don't get to pick a class of people.
You can open a private club. You can have a club, and you can have, ask the mafia, a social club, and only people who belong to that come to that club and can have membership.
Ask the country club.
Huh?
Ask the country club.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you
ask the Republican country club that wouldn't allow blacks or Jews. Just saying.
Exactly.
Knew a couple of those.
Listen, Section 1 of the 14th Amendment is very, very clear. It's the Equal Protection Clause. No state shall make a law that abridges the privileges of citizens, nor shall any state deprive people of life, liberty, property without due process, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So what we really need is a civics class for idiots who want to run for legislatures and the idiot voters who vote for these right-wing people who don't even have the knowledge of basic civics starting with our Constitution.
Sue, Greg writes, businesses won't survive. What, because those Jim Crow law businesses didn't thrive in the South?
It's just ridiculous.
Right, and in response to his, it's 2014, dude. Really? What, do you think homophobia is gone? Clearly it isn't.
And racism isn't gone either.
Right, right.
Chris, can I just say one thing?
Hi, yes.
Okay, listen, sweetie, because you know I love you.
Uh-oh.
But you know what? Jan Brewer, because Jan Brewer gets zero credit for this. First of all, any point where it went through the legislature at the congressional and state senate through the legislature, she could have put her foot down and said, "Guys,
don't even bother sending this."
If
you're going to beat up on President Obama yesterday for not doing enough for gay rights, how dare you go?
I don't care. Reasons, not look, because it's morally was the right thing to do.
It's easy to say that from the comfy confines of a blue state. However, if you're living in a red state you are LGBT.
Right.
You need to get things done however
you can. But you sound a little
second-class
citizen-y, right?
No.
I'm just saying because you're going, I don't care how it happens as long as they let us go into restaurants.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
Arizona is a red state. They are keeping the progressives down.
I'm glad it happened
so progressives
too.
Governor sets the tone. She is
and Sue is right. You've got
to
call these people out.
She is supposed to do it for the right reasons.
Right.
Calling these people out isn't going to do
squat. C.C. Goldwater wrote a piece about this and included, I think it's, Chris, a Republican that's running for governor, but he said, I would not even have gotten, there's no way this should have gotten to
that's easy for him to say after the fact.
Right. This blatantly unconstitutional law should never have been passed. It should have been stopped in its tracks like it has been in other states.
Sue.
And the only reason, I sound like John Bolton, the only reason, she vetoed it was because it was going to hurt them by billions of dollars. It was
I know this whole charade of, I'm meeting with people from both sides of the issue
that was
listening.
Charade.
And, it's like, give me a break. This is blatantly unconstitutional.
Correct.
And I heard somebody, Sue, make the point yesterday. I don't know what you think, but they said, good, let them do this. It's good for us politically. It's not going to pass muster in the courts or constitutionally. Let them keep doing this and look like the homophobes that they are.
Again, I just don't understand how if you are running and you serve in any kind of legislative capacity, the very first thing, all the members of Congress walk around with their pocket constitutions.
Yep.
All they have to do is open up to the 14th
Takes
2 Amendment.
Seconds.
It tells you what you can and cannot do.
Right, take 2 seconds
and
to go.
No state gets to circumvent that.
Right, you go, okay, done. Over with. All right, thank you, Sue. 47 minutes after the hour, we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I love our sexy liberal family.
Yes.
Jackie Schechner has gotten the call on the bat phone.
Yep.
She is hopping in her car. And she's filling in for Jim, whose cat is missing for the second day, sadly. And he's very upset and hasn't slept. And also sexy liberal Carlos Alzeraqui filled in for Jim yesterday.
Yes.
God love us. All right. And Jackie Schechner, of course, will be on panel with us for that's her hometown, Miami girl, Fort Lauderdale sexy liberal, along with Judy Tenuta. We're very excited. All right. Oh, line, who wants to beat up on you?
Two.
Line two.
I could say four, but,
Okay. Steve in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I had to adapt my call slightly because Sue stole about half of my thunder on the call. But Chris seems to set the bar so much lower for Jan Brewer than he does President Obama, because it was the economic stranglehold that was the potential in Arizona that made her.
Well, Jan Brewer didn't run on a platform of LGBT rights. Obama did. So, yes, the bar is a little bit higher for Obama.
But we got to be careful about that.
Right.
Because
our
president has rescued the economy, everything else, and all the
Republicans
say he's a failure. And
when did I say Obama was a failure?
Lower. They just raise the bar up and up and up
right.
and up and up. We got
to
be
Steve,
careful.
You can certainly, to be fair to Chris, you can see how the president has done more for gay rights than every president combined up until
exactly.
now. He has
yeah.
not
exactly.
quite done enough,
but
or not done it fast enough.
He was great political risk when it was just a, when he had a yeah. nudge from Joe Biden. He had he came out when yeah. it was when the risk right not long before an election. It
and by the way,
because somebody who has a stranglehold on him.
You know, and by the way, speaking of when it wasn't, you know, politically expedient yet, that's why he drew the nation's attention was that speech.
Exactly.
When he said, we have some gay friends in the red states, and people were like, what? We worship
exactly.
an awesome God in the blue states, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, Shelley in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shell.
Hi there. I just wanted to clarify something, particularly for the fellow from California who said he was a business owner and he has the right to discriminate against anybody.
He wants to, right.
One concept that is in all the regulations and the laws is the idea of a public accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
was in the first civil rights law. It's in the Americans with Disabilities Act. And the idea is that your store, your restaurant, your theater, your funeral home, whatever, is made possible because there are roads that lead to it that are paid for by taxes. There are building codes.
That's
that
right.
It costs money to enforce those so that your building doesn't fall down. If somebody breaks in, the tax-supported police come and investigate. And all those are paid for by the taxes of everyone. So you're benefiting from everyone's taxes. Therefore, you don't have the right to discriminate against anyone.
Yep, that's
right.
On the
basis of, mm-hmm. of some characteristic like their disability, their color, their orientation, et cetera. Also, just one thing.
Right.
He was saying that in California you can, if he wanted to discriminate against somebody on the basis of, say, let's say, nationality, he could. And I believe he might be able to get away with it, but if it were seen as a pattern and practice, he could be successfully prosecuted for that. So getting away with something is not necessarily the same as legally being able to do something.
That's right. That's right. It being codified in the law. That's right. Mm-hmm. I was saying, I love this piece in the Washington Post. Harold Meyerson.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the perfect line. He said, as patriotism can be the last refuge of scoundrels, so religion could be the last refuge of bigots.
Mm-hmm.
And he also echoes exactly what I've been saying. He said, the fact that two absurd proposals slept through two states' legislative bodies with nearly unanimous Republican support signals a kind of panic within the GOP base at the recent advances in gay and lesbian equality, in particular the right to marry. It signals Republicans and some religious leaders are willing to invoke religion as a cloak for their bigotry. And that's all it is. And, you know, just like the marriage equality cases, someone went back, quoted, people in the 50s and 60s, a number of Southern fundamentalist ministers preached that racial segregation was God's design. Reverend Bob Jones, do you remember him? South Carolina Christian
from Bob Jones University.
Yeah.
Yes.
Said if you, this is what he said, if you are against segregation and against racial segregation, then you are against God Almighty. Labeling as satanic those working to abolish Jim Crow laws, he preached it was God who drew the boundary lines between the races.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is whether businesses can refuse service to gays and lesbians based on the business's religious beliefs, though you probably have to believe that corporations are people to grant that businesses can have religious beliefs. That's another really great point I haven't heard made enough. If Arizona's Republicans and Catholic bishops don't like it here, why don't they move to Uganda? Thank you. Thank you, Harold Meyerson from the Washington Post.
He's good.
Yes. Let's go to Marcus in Tampa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marcus. Hi, Marcus. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, guys, hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this whole thing was just some divisive wedge issue. I mean, there's already laws in place that allow that where a business owner has no obligation to commit to performing services at a private function. That's standard. That's how it's always been. If a guy walks into your restaurant and wants service, you can't deny him service covered by the civil, by the Constitution. If the next day that guy comes to your business and wants you to cater at a private function, you have no obligation to commit to it. If you sign a contract or written agreement, then you back out of it and you open yourself up for civil damages based, you know, if you back out of it because of race, ethnicity, or...
Yeah. What point taken.
Absolutely.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is, sorry, Max. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry. Breakfast time, dogs are circling.
Apparently.
Okay. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jackie Schechner on her way in, very, very. Yeah,
good luck with that, because it's kind of rainy out there.
Yeah, it's rainy in L.A.
Sig alerts all over the place.
Right. Dogs and cats living together, panic time in Los Angeles. All right, she's filling in for Jim Ward, whose kitty is missing. Please keep saying prayers for Jim's kitty, although I do not understand the whole outdoor cat phenomenon, which I'll have to ask him about, but he's very upset that his cat is missing and has not slept and all that. So say a prayer for our Jimmy Ward. All right, and his kitty. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Otherwise, we're having a big gay day because obviously Jan Brewer vetoed the anti-gay Arizona law, and Texas, as we were talking about last hour, Texas has messed with their own gay marriage ban.
Yes, they have.
So there. All right. Let's see. Oh, Stephen in Hammond, Indiana says, so if I or, say, a certain clergyman was innocently hanging up some curtain rods in his kitchen, one of our favorite stories.
Yes.
And he accidentally slipped and fell on a potato and actually became lodged in his rectal region. If he went to the emergency room in Arizona, could they refuse to remove the potato because of his religion? See, there's all kinds of slippery slopes of all sorts of different kinds.
Well, we don't have to worry about that now for the time being until another bill goes through the legislature.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's a love letter about the magic of the Sexy Liberal. Robin in New York, Steph, congratulations on all your upcoming Sexy Liberal shows. Thank you. A year and a half ago at your Beacon Theater show in New York City. Oh, that was one for the ages. That was everybody. Hal, Aisha, John, me. Alec Baldwin, who did not show up.
One of the times he didn't show up.
but I forget who did. Was it Alan Grayson jumped into the fray for us as
in New York?
My hero? I can't remember. No, he did the D.C.
Didn't Rude do it?
Yes, Rude Pundit did it. I can't remember who else. Okay. I am old.
Well.
And also.
Drunk.
Right. After the show. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let's see. I took a friend to cheer her up after a long-term relationship had ended.
Mm-hmm.
After the show, she left to go for a prearranged first date. I just found out they're getting married this May. How cool is that? Robin, it is part of the magic of Sexy Liberal. You remember Grant and Vivian got engaged at Chicago Sexy Liberal last year. At the show, he asked her to marry her. At the show, it was awesome. And this year, it's Chicago show in April, we might have a live birth. There is a woman that is nine months pregnant, has tickets. And we told her to hold it till the show because we could
just cross her legs.
Cross your legs, hold it until the show. All right. And then
the baby's going to come out 3 years old.
And? Oh, and also someone wants me to gay marry them. So I need to get a license or something before April for the big show.
Is that something I need to be looking into?
Maybe we should.
Okay.
So because if I could gay marry someone and have a live birth, and that's a straight birth, that one.
Right.
They're still doing that sort of thing. Knocked up by a guy.
Well, you know.
Kids these days. It's crazy. let's see. Greg writes, Steph, if it passes, I want to see somewhere else or a different version, as
sure.
you said.
Yeah.
I want to see a scene like Spartacus. Well, instead of everyone saying, I'm Spartacus, everyone in the restaurant stands up and says, I am gay, when a patron is refused service. All right.
Is everybody gay?
That would be awesome. One by one. I am gay.
That's the entire climactic scene of In-N-Out.
Right. Right. And Spartacus.
And well, sure. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So lots to get to. Arizona State Senator Steve Pierce, he's one of the Republicans
that changed
his mind. Ooh, my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, here he is. Arizona State Senator Steve Pierce yesterday.
We had reservations at the very beginning about this, and when we saw the outcry on what was really going to happen, how it was going to damage the state, we decided this is not right, and we never should have gone along with it. We just made a mistake.
Okay.
That's some moral courage. God, and we realized that people didn't really like homophobia. We thought they would.
And yet he's going to get reelected, because that's what happens in Arizona.
God. How awful. I mean, you got to, I guess, give them points for honesty. We didn't really think it was wrong until everyone else said so, and it's going to hurt the state and business and stuff. Yikes.
Didn't they pay attention to what happened in 1993?
What happened to good old-fashioned bigotry? All right, Steve Yarborough, he is the...
He was the sponsor of the bill.
I have to give credit to the opponents who have managed to turn this into some sort of a discrimination bill against gays.
That's crazy.
It couldn't be farther from that.
That's crazy. Where would people get that? Because if you could refuse service to gays, why would people think that's like some sort of thing that excludes gays in some way? That's crazy. That's nuts. I have to give... Oh, I see. So he's the real victim?
Yep.
He's the real victim.
Yeah.
Of those bullying gays, again, that would like to eat or...
have their picture taken.
Right.
Maybe.
Aw, poor Steve.
They'd like to bake a cake, maybe.
Poor Steve.
But they're not allowed to.
Bullied again. Oh, and Michelle Bachmann had some thoughts on this?
On CNN.
Who is secular liberal John Fugelsang says is both against gay marriage and in one.
Yay.
Just like we need to observe tolerance for the gay and lesbian community... have tolerance for the community of people who hold sincerely held religious beliefs.
So should she veto that legislation?
No, I don't think that she should. This is a decided level of intolerance. It's effectively eviscerating the First Amendment rights of freedom of speech, expression, and religious expression for the people of Arizona.
But there's also public accommodation.
And how does Marcus feel about what happened in Arizona yesterday?
I'm super! Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Okay. Wow. Did you see Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
Who can I just say? If I didn't know better, seems a little... Okay. He said...
A little light?
Yeah. He said making businesses serve gay customers is fascism. Hmm. Right. He said, I mean, if you want to have a gay wedding, fine, go ahead. Well, we will then. Fine.
Okay.
If I don't want to bake you a cake for your gay wedding, that's okay too, or should be. That's called tolerance. But when you try to force me to bake a cake for your gay wedding and threaten me with prison if I don't, that's called fascism.
There's not a single gay on the face of the earth that's going to want a cake that's baked by Tucker Carlson.
Carlson,
he has nothing to worry about.
Right. Carlson then went on to argue that no gay people he knows want to see cake refuseniks go to jail anyway. So who are we protecting here?
All whatever.
Right, all right. Fascism. Equal rights are now fascism.
That's right.
And scene. Okay. Let's go to Wayne in Connecticut. Hi, Wayne. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris briefly touched on my point. As good of a thing as it was for Governor Brewer to veto that bill, it's still just as legal today to discriminate against LGBT people as it was yesterday.
Absolutely.
And last week.
Gays and lesbians are not a protected class in the state of Arizona. There are three cities in Arizona where they are a protected class, but not in the state.
Right, and that's where the fight needs to be. I mean, everybody should have civil rights. It's ridiculous that everybody doesn't have equal rights. I don't understand.
Yeah, you good point. We were talking to Carl Frisch about where else we need to keep an eye on. I mean, you know, there is some good news, and hopefully this, Chris, will have a domino effect on other states when they look at what happened here. Because it was not just an Arizona thing. It really was a national outcry. I mean, you had the last Republican candidate for president, Mitt Romney, you know, weigh in against it. When Arizona passed SB 1062 last week, it was the exception. That's the good news. Similar license to discriminate bills stalled that same week in legislatures in Kansas, South Dakota, Tennessee, Maine, and Idaho. Now a new wave of bills in Georgia, Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri meeting largely the same fate. In Georgia, I guess the bill seems unlikely to meet a committee deadline for consideration, meaning it's dead. A similar bill did pass out of committee in the Senate, but it's unclear whether it will advance to the Senate floor in time to meet the same deadline. So, you know, I hope this is a cautionary tale to other states that are thinking about this. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm with a lot of callers. 4 to 5 days to think about this. You know, Jan Brewer wanted to stick with their right-wing fanatics. But really, the story on this, the best part was looking at the bad taste it left in her mouth. And that's what happens when you have to kiss the left, the right, and the center.
I think you meant that in a really dirty way. Okay. Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Happy Gay Day.
Thank you.
The point is, the major point is that it is all about discrimination. When Reince Priebus was talking about the autopsy of the Republican Party, the autopsy is done on dead things, we know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's LGBT rights, it's women's rights, it's voters' rights. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, the right to breathe clean air, the right to drink clean water, these are issues that have been decided after the 1850s. And the Republican Party and those that are, you know, in between and on the fence don't get it. Plus, our tax dollars are being spent to defend these obscure and obscene. I mean, it's obscene.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the DNC that tweeted, Christine, about, you know, you lost this battle 50 years ago. Yeah. You don't get to decide who sits at the lunch counter. I mean,
And I love it when Chris says that. I love Chris anyway.
Would you?
We have a name in common, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
yeah, and that is it. I mean, what can you say to that?
Well, people don't care. You can change not having a shirt or shoes on. You can't change being gay or black or disabled or whatever else it is that, you know, obviously people have chosen to discriminate against in the past.
It's the continuum of the discrimination with the GOP. Mm-hmm. You didn't see any Democrats in the Arizona legislature talking or voting for these bills. They're not doing it in Ohio. The above listed things that I talked about are now going on in Ohio. And then our attorney general has to spend our tax dollars. When are people going to, you know, wake up and go, hey, we need a bridge?
Yeah.
We don't need
I mean, Christine, the president was talking about infrastructure again yesterday, and it's such a no-brainer in terms of jobs and all of that. And, you know, the fact that all they are pushing for a few temporary jobs and enormous damage to the environment is the Keystone Pipeline. I really hope that the pundits are wrong about 2014 because, you know, and I'm like, keep going with these anti-gay things. You are way out of step with the American public and on the wrong side of history. And maybe,
certainly agree with that because I think that if the Democrats would step out of their comfort zones when it is the Democrat Party that is, you know, that's not voting for any of this legislation.
Democratic
Party, yes.
But yeah, we just hit 4 million, you know, enrollees for the Affordable Care Act. We'll talk to Jackie about that. I agree with, I can't remember who we had on that was saying Democrats need to grow a set and step up and you know, defend. First of all, Paul Krugman wrote a great piece. All of these stories they've tried to put forward about the Obamacare horror stories, they're complete bull. Completely.
Yes.
I mean, Mother Jones wrote a piece. I'm beginning to think not one person has been harmed by Obamacare. Well, they can't seem to find anyone that's a real story. Yeah. The ones honestly, Chris, have obviously been vetted enough to make it to national television in the official Republican response turn out to be a complete load of that's the best you can do. A woman that didn't even check the website for her options because she hates Obama. I mean, it's just unbelievable. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. It is a big news day, a big gay day.
Yep.
News out of Arizona and Texas, obviously. But Travis came in and talked about my real obsession, House of Cards. And now you've distracted me like a shiny thing.
I can't say anything. Chapter 24 last night? Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm not up to
What's
that.
Chapter 24?
Would you like some fun facts? Yeah, someone else. Sid in Santa Rosa. Same addiction we have.
Oh, no.
Steph went through House of Cards Season 2 this weekend. Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm going to finish this weekend.
Is Chapter 24 like the 12th episode of the second season? Is that what you're...
I think I'm on the fourth episode of the second season.
I think it's the 11th episode. Because there are 13 chapters.
Is that what you're up to? Okay.
13 chapters in the first one, 26 in this.
Oh, all right.
Went through House of Cards Season 2. Yikes, it's like West Wing on crack. It is.
Oh, my God.
Not to give the plot away, here are highlights just for Chapter 18. Very frightening Civil War reenactment, anthrax scare in the White House, menage a trois erotic asphyxiation session, mild guinea pig abuse.
Oh, yeah, menage a trois, Chapter 24.
And Claire wore a camel-colored outfit, which is... By the way, Jan Brewer, She's doing the Claire Underwood hairdo. What's going on? I think that was an homage to Claire Underwood.
Like, hey.
She was doing. She had a camel colored suit on and a Claire Underwood haircut.
I haven't seen House of Cards, but every time someone mentions Claire Underwood on Twitter, it's always hashtag sips wine.
Oh, she got hammered in Chapter 24.
Really?
Hammered on wine.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
She was channeling you.
Keep up the good show, sis. I have two Rokus.
Roku. So okay. Wave high.
Why the hell did we not buy stock in Roku? We have blowed up Roku. Our free speech TV traffic is up 1,300%.
You could have paid for the studio just with the Roku sales.
Oh, for God's
and
sakes.
Until you get a Roku, you can go to StephanieMiller.com and watch us.
Check it out.
Just go full screen on us, and you'll see every pore.
OMG. Okay. Anyway, I know. It is real. And
WTF.
Now Sexy Liberal Tour is getting hold of my House of Cards addiction.
Oh,
I cannot watch the rest of the season
because
I got to go to Fort Lauderdale tomorrow.
You can watch it on your laptop.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
On the plane?
City?
No.
That could be good
not
news
on the plane,
for,
because you have to stream.
Don't you sit in the Admiral's Club at the airport?
That could be good news for Carlos because then I won't have to chat with him the whole flight.
But if you're stuck in your hotel room or something, you can totally watch it.
It's Gay Pride weekend in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not going to be stuck in my hotel room. I'm going to be out. Whoop.
You're going to leave your hotel room?
Yeah.
Why should it be any different
than
your
beach.
House?
Gonna be on the beach. All right. Carlos.
Carlos.
Well, you are. Are you here every day?
He's twice Carlos's height.
Oh right. Sorry.
You wash me in hot water and.
Exactly. We should make Carlos look in the little tiny troll closet that we make you work in.
He would fit there a lot.
You're
better.
Too tall for this job. All right. Thank you, Travis.
I'm gonna go watch House of Cards at my desk now.
Oh my God. Answer the phones. Okay. Let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I'm trying to play middleman here between you and Chris. I want to support Chris. Last few times I've called, I've supported Chris, and it has nothing to do with the fact I want to shoot through his T-shirt. But
okay. Thank you, Dave.
you're very welcome. But the issue I think we're dealing with here with Jan Brewer and the Senate, we're kind of going back and forth. Questioning her motivations, and her motivations are pretty transparent, apparently,
yeah.
To be honest. But
money.
Yep. But the fact of it is, value systems are an extremely difficult thing to have to change. And let's take our victories in the way that we can get them, all right? This is kind of a hollow victory in a sense. I mean, it's not that big of a deal because it doesn't change anything for gay and lesbian people in the state.
True.
Other than saying, you don't legally get to now discriminate against us because of something
right.
That is not of our own making. But let's use their value system against them.
That's exactly what happened here.
Listen, you need to get busy on your Marcus Bachman costume for the Minneapolis Sexy Liberal in June. Just get busy, mister. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Lesbianism means that I am a dyke against the rising waters of mediocrity.
Good for you,
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. God bless America. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie Schechner on her way in.
Yep.
I completely spaced out. Lucas Grindley, editorial director at our very, very favorite The Advocate, joins us now to celebrate this big gay day. Good gay morning, Lucas.
It is a good gay morning. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it is amazing that, I was one of those people when I first read about this bill, I was like, are you kidding me? So, I mean, I guess it's a victory, but you go, this was, you know, obviously blatantly unconstitutional, wasn't it?
I have definitely heard from activists who say it's blatantly unconstitutional, but don't tell that to a bunch of Republicans from numerous states across the country that are proposing similar laws.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I've been saying on the show, Lucas, that you have to hope that this is exactly what it seems like. Just last, like, desperation. Just, you know, the last gasps of people that are so on the wrong side of history, they're freaking out.
Well, I wouldn't give Jan Brewer any credit for vetoing it because she's, you know, for gay rights. I mean, she did this because I guess she didn't want to look bad or make her state look bad to look out of the mainstream. When you have Apple and the Super Bowl and Delta and American Airlines coming around saying, we don't think we really want to do business there. You look really outside the mainstream and sort of wacky and crazy. So I think it was much more about Republicans don't want to lose the midterms by looking crazy again than about Jan Brewer being all about the gays. She's not. She didn't even mention gay people in her veto speech, and they tried to get away with that by not even putting gay people in the bill to sort of pretend like this isn't about us. It clearly is. Everyone gets it.
Lucas, what do you think about, you know, I was saying earlier that I hope that this is a cautionary tale for these other states. What do you think?
I don't think that they are quite that wise in interpreting it that way. I mean, we're the HRC this morning is pivoting and trying to focus more in Mississippi where one of these laws is up in there. They think that maybe they stripped out the anti-gay language from this bill that was proposed there last night in response to this. And also in Ohio, they had a bill where the bill seems to have died in response to this. And then in Georgia, there's one where they think maybe it's died in response to this. But don't expect them to go away forever. I mean, it's maybe a bad moment. The politics look bad now, but these people aren't going to just stop believing that they shouldn't have the right to fire you if you're gay or to turn you away at their business doors because you're gay. They're going to still believe that, and they're going to still want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lucas, I think that the good news is that I think the reaction to this, you know, certainly is, to me, one of the most positive things because, you know, it shows us that this, you know, sort of breathtaking progress, I think, on gay rights, on marriage equality that you and I have seen, this is part of it, right? The backlash. I mean, I love that this one guy, who did we just play, Chris, the, you know, state senator that pretty much admitted, well, we didn't expect this reaction. Okay.
Steve Pierce, state senator, that's some moral courage. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't realize people wouldn't like it. Okay, well, you know, meaning... Right, go ahead.
The most hopeful thing was Hillary Clinton last night was at University of Miami giving a speech and sort of broke the news to the audience that Jan Brewer had vetoed this bill. And she said it was, you know, a sign of inclusive leadership of the 21st century. And the best thing about it was the huge ovation that she got from the students. It was very loud.
Mm. Well, it's, you know, and that certainly bears out in the polling. Let's talk about Texas, because obviously other big news yesterday. A federal judge in San Antonio ruled that Texas' ban on same-sex marriage unconstitutionally deprived some citizens of due process and equal protection under the law by stigmatizing their relationships, treating them differently from opposite-sex couples. U.S. District Judge Orlando Garcia cited recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings as having trumped Texas's moves to ban gay marriage. He said today's court decision is made not in defiance of the great people of Texas or the Texas legislature, but in compliance with the U.S. Constitution and Supreme Court precedent. Without a rational relation to legitimate government purpose, state-imposed inequality can find no refuge in our U.S. Constitution. So he did issue a preliminary injunction, right, against enforcing the amendment. He stayed it from taking effect until his ruling can be reviewed on appeal. But, you know, here we go, right? There's a gubernatorial race going on, right, Lucas? And Greg Abbott, who is the front runner right now for governor and the attorney general right now, he's almost certainly going to appeal, don't you think?
Well, Rick Perry has definitely talked about it and said that he wants to stand up for Texans and what they said in their ban on constitutional ban on marriage equality. So I think anyone on that side is going to definitely defend it. But I think we can call this a trend now that the federal courts are ruling in favor of marriage equality in reaction to what happened at the Supreme Court last year.
Well, and that means obviously one of these cases is eventually going to reach the Supreme Court. And I think, you know, the big news is that it's these deep red states. That this is not just blue states this is happening in, right?
Yeah, because I don't think when it comes to the judiciary, there's really much politics at stake. One of the favorite things in the media every time one of these rulings comes down is to say, well, and you know whose judge that was as to what administration it came from. And it really doesn't matter. It's been all over the map as to whether or not it was a liberal or conservative president who had nominated the judge. It doesn't seem to matter whatsoever when it comes to the judiciary as to whether or not it's red state or blue state.
The other issue we've been talking about, we obviously, you know, Lucas just got done with the Olympics and this horrible law in Russia. And, you know, now we see what just happened in Uganda. But, you know, one thing we've been talking about a lot, and I guess a lot of people are talking about Sally Cohn's piece in the Daily Beast, the family in Uganda's anti-gay Christian mafia. She writes, the evangelical organization that describes itself as a Christian mafia has been the hidden hand behind Uganda's anti-gay bill, along with Rick Warren, the gay-bashing pastor. So, you know, and as she writes, this is not just an international disgrace. It's an American disgrace. That it is some American evangelical Christians that have helped this happen, right?
American evangelical Christians have been overseas in numerous places trying to push anti-gay laws. They were, NAM, the big national organization for marriage, was involved in France in opposing marriage equality there. It eventually passed. But then was also in Russia, where they were trying to pass that gay propaganda law. They were, Brian Brown, as president, was out there having meetings and, you know, giving his advice on how best to get that gay propaganda bill passed. And yeah, in the Uganda, evangelicals have a long history, with that law in actually bringing the idea over there to the people who were pushing for it. So there's definitely a connection.
Well, and you know what I think makes, you know, perfect sense that she writes about Lucas is, you know, because they're clearly facing defeat in the American culture wars, this is what they're doing. They're looking elsewhere. And I think it's important to know this stuff. The legislation written by a guy named David Bahati, mm-hmm. a member of the Ugandan parliament, he has said he wants to kill every gay person. He's a core member of this. It's called mm-hmm. the Family, this American Evangelical Christian group. They've referred to themselves as the Christian Mafia, right?
Yeah, David Bahati is the one, and he's the one who was originally contacted by the evangelical groups associated with the Family out of Washington.
By the way, Senator James Inhofe, our old friend, is the Family's missionary in Uganda. He's gone at least 20 times there since 1999, at least $187,000 cost to taxpayers, including the cost of military aircraft. In Uganda, Inhofe attended Bahati's Ugandan prayer breakfast and invited Bahati to the United States three times. Inhofe, who once boasted being proud that he was, there's not a single gay relationship in the recorded history of his family. Which, do you believe that, Lucas? Because we don't. We think if you gave that Inhofe family tree a shake, we're just saying I think some pink fruit might fall out.
You might be onto something there. I don't know. I think the odds are, just looking around, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what these people are trying to get away with. He boasted he'd adopted Uganda, and yet Senator Inhofe denied knowing Bahati and eventually reluctantly condemned the country's anti-gay law. But their fingerprints are all over it, right?
I think they might try to distance themselves now from it. I mean, it didn't end up being the kill the gays bill. It's now just the jail the gays bill.
Right.
But they may still try to distance themselves from Uganda. I don't know that... Everybody will.
Another pastor, let me finish this up, another Ugandan pastor who is another leading force behind this, he is Pastor Rick Warren. He was a frequent guest at Rick Warren's church, including a conference on AIDS, where Warren had him lead a seminar on AIDS prevention as well as deliver a keynote address. Warren, as you know, has personally said gay marriage is equivalent to incest, pedophilia, and polygamy, and has said gay people are evil. After, you know, pressure has eventually severed ties with this guy and spoken out against the law. But, you know, that's what, you know, in a way, what happened with Arizona. It's like, guess what? We see you, homophobes, you know, and that's all you can do is just keep calling these people out, right?
Well, and I don't think they called out enough for what they do in their own churches. I mean, they are opposed to having gay people around at their churches in general. I mean, we have an op-ed today up at The Advocate about this evangelical pastor was at one of those big mega churches, and he came out as gay, and basically his church kicked him out of leadership, and then he had to get special approval to even be at his kids', you know, like children's church, to be in the room with them.
Yep, yep.
So this is just part of their culture, is they don't really want gay people around, and they consider you more dangerous than anything else. This one evangelical pastor was talking about how if you're at his church and you have cheated on your wife, there's a group for you. You can go there and talk about that.
Right.
Or you're addicted to porn or whatever. There's a group for you. You can go and talk about that. If you come out and say you're gay, you have to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Jesus would do. Lucas, great stuff. It is actually, you know, it's a good day in all of this, but ever vigilant, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. Lucas, great stuff. TheAdvocate.com. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right. He seems sleepy a little bit this morning.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, speaking of marriage equality, one of the heroes in the country, I cannot believe I spaced out on who did Sexy Liberal Panel in New York. Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
I spaced because he did the Sexy Liberal Panel in Los Angeles
right.
as well, along with Lily Tomlin. But, you know, again, one of the true heroes in the fight for marriage equality here, one of our great straight allies. Anyway, and he's the one who showed up for Sexy Liberal Panel in New York. So there. Thank you, somebody, for jarring that.
After piece. Alec Baldwin bailed?
He said he was sick. All right, 45. And he says he did not use the F word for gay man. I don't know. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Speaking of hot, 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 Jackie Schechner on her way in. And hot, hot, hot Fort Lauderdale. Gay Pride weekend. Very exciting. We're all going to Sexy Liberal. Very, very exciting. Oh, by the way, Susan writes, Steph, I guess I don't understand the need to say people are born gay. It sort of makes it sound like an incurable affliction like Mama's lazy eye. Do I have a lazy eye? What? Someone said I have a lazy eye, like their cockatoo or their something.
Well, you kind of – do you know who Andy Cohen is? He hosts
Wild Yes, Happens. Okay. Yes.
He has a little cross-eye situation. You might have a little bit of that.
Okay, fine.
But he hosts a very successful late-night show.
Fine.
So
if I do, then I was born that way. Many people, especially women, fall in love and has, oh, don't I know it, has absolutely nothing to do with the other person's genitalia. Let's just call the latter the bonus round. See, if I was born to dislike vegetables, how is my love for them as an adult explained? I think it's better to say without blinking, everyone is born with the capacity to love either sex, then lean back and watch the nutbags' heads explode. Yes, I think so. True that. Like, we had a, because the smartest kids in class listen to our show.
Yeah.
And somebody said, you know, were you born with the desire to sleep with someone of another race, or did you develop it in a free country? What difference should it make?
Exactly.
Sputter. Okay. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Before I make my point,
yes,
I want to say, as the original Steph head, that I have gotten my tickets for your show in Minneapolis.
Woo, sweet. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
In June, yeah.
And I'm bringing my parents, who are almost as old as your mother.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but they have always been Democrats, and they will love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, many elderly folk have enjoyed a sexy liberal or two. All right, go ahead, Jean.
So my point is that I want to respond to the talking point of the right. I've seen it on Twitter as well as hearing it from your caller earlier this morning, that they could always discriminate. That's what we really have to do when we talk about that talking point, is that what they are doing is openly announcing that they have always discriminated and they didn't have to justify it or
right.
hide it.
Right.
And the thing that I think is really important for us moving forward is to make sure that we don't just focus on not being discriminated against, but that we actively promote the use of our dollars to support progressives. For example, I'm going to Phoenix in a few weeks. I'm flying on Delta. Delta came out in support
yep.
of our community and against this law.
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that all the dollars I spend in Phoenix go to businesses that, if they're not gay-owned, they're supportive of the gay community.
Yep.
They are inclusive.
Marriott Hotels wrote a letter
yep.
to Jan Brewer.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think is also important to remember, I've called you about this before, is that in the 70s, the Christian Coalition, the beginning of the public involvement of right-wing nut jobs in the political system, in the 70s, they started running what they called self-candidates for school boards. And they said, we're going to work our way up, all
right.
the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the outcome of it 40 years later. They've taken over control of state governments, like they did in Arizona, to enact their radical activist agendas. So
yeah.
that's what needs to be done for the final progress towards being truly a better democracy is to make sure that we expose these people's bigotry, we expose
yep.
their discrimination, and that we work against it by where we spend our dollars.
Yep, absolutely. Very well said. By the way, speaking of which, you know, so this idiot, this Republican lobbyist that, and by the way, I am name calling. I did just, in
he
fact.
Is an idiot.
Yeah. Jack Berkman.
Yep.
as it turns out, might not be so good for his business to be a big homophobe. He's the lobbyist that's trying to do, which, first of all, has no chance of obviously passing. It is clearly unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But it would ban a gays from the NFL. The headline is, clients flabbergasted with lobbyists' bizarre push to push him to ban gays from the NFL. Washington lobbyist Jack Berkman.
Mm-hmm.
He announced, yes, he would push for legislation to prohibit the National Football League from employing gay players, a move he later admitted was just a publicity stunt. They surveyed a few of his lobbying clients. You know who he was worked for is Rick Lazio, the little twit that ran against, against Hillary Clinton for Senate in New York, urged Congress to pass a bill that would ban Michael Sam or other openly gay players. He said, if the NFL has no morals and no values, then Congress must find values for it.
Oh, God, yeah,
so
no.
This had zero chance of becoming law. It was blatantly unconstitutional. They surveyed a lot of his clients, mostly companies in fields like medical devices, clean energy, and pharmaceuticals. He and his firm advocate for these companies before members of Congress and the Obama administration, many of whom are themselves LGBT or pro-equality allies. So he's just a dummy in addition to being, he's probably going to lose a lot of business over this dumb PR
stunt. That's what he should.
Yes. Terrence in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Terrence.
Hello.
Hello.
It seems like your caller earlier, who was, supporting this law on the basis of they should be able to discriminate, is pretty popular today. I had a comment on his take earlier. A lot of people have been focusing on it, being discrimination. That's absolutely true, but I think it misses another point that he said, these businesses, if they discriminate, they're going to go out of business. Well, we know that's not true. That's why the whole lunch counter thing happened, because Woolworths was discriminating, and they weren't going out of business. They were doing just fine.
Exactly.
So the libertarian theory that, well, if they discriminate, they're just going to go out of business, we know that's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Libertarianism looks so awesome and perfect on paper. Then when it's applied to the really messy real world, it just falls apart.
Yeah, it causes Rand Paul to say really dumb things on Rachel Maddow.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, maybe we should rethink that whole 1964 civil rights thing. let's go to Art in Phoenix. Hey, Art, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I just had a question. The group that is behind all of these bills that you're saying around the country are going to essentially do what they tried to do here in Arizona, who is that group? And why can't there be some organized focus on that group? No one mentioned who is organized. Is it ALEC? Is it the Heritage Foundation? Who is this?
We posted Cece Goldwater's piece yesterday in the Huffington Post, and I think she mentions the specific groups in there.
In Arizona, it was the Center for Arizona Policy.
Right. Which is like a right-wing think tank.
Far-right think tank, yeah.
Okay, so it's one of these amoebic groups that just kind of pick organizations that can support their cause in local places. And
unfortunately, they have a big toehold in the Arizona legislature. They write a lot of the legislation that goes through the legislature.
We're going to do something about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Cece's piece was about. Arizonans are sick and tired of this little group dictating
them
and making them a laughingstock around the country.
And the Goldwater Institute. Hate to bring up. they're another one of those far right groups that writes a lot of legislation in Arizona.
Yeah, but I mean, read Cece's piece because there's a lot of Goldwaters and a lot of them don't believe anything close to what's going on there right now. All right, I hear Jackie Schechner because I heard Fred barking.
Yeah, well, he's better than a doorbell.
58 minutes after the hour, Jackie Schechner joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. She made it through the rain.
Hello world, here's a new
Becky Shekna.
Good morning. There's just remnants of rain and people freak out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It rained a lot overnight.
Did
when
it?
I got up
yeah.
at 2:30, it was pouring. Really.
Ah. Yeah. Have you noticed people in LA cannot drive when there is moisture?
Yeah. No, they yeah. freak out.
Right. Right. It's yeah. yeah.
Well, when I got up, yeah, there were like 6 or 7 SIG alerts already around the.
I'm a bitter old hag that grew up in Buffalo. I'm like, go.
It's like when I lived in D.C. and it, you right. had like an inch of snow.
I was used to driving with like a 3-foot snow panicked. Sofa on yeah. top of my car. I'm like, just go.
And plus, I'm from South Florida where it rains every day
right.
for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Speaking of South Florida, where are you going? Where are you going tomorrow, little girl?
What a segue.
Little Jackie Sunshine.
I'm going to come hang out at Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale.
Yay!
I get to practice my humidity hairstyle today.
Yes. Somebody. Oh, let's
it's
see.
It's a dry run.
Yes. Rachel in Miami said, looking forward to Saturday. Hope the South Florida humidity will be nice to us frizzy-haired gals.
Yeah, you grow up in Miami, you get really used to it.
I've had the, like, you know, industrial stank, Japanese straightening. I'll never forget, I did a book. I appeared at a bookstore for our Miami station in August, and
yeah.
I literally, like,
did it really?
Yeah.
Just I was suddenly like Link from Mod Squad.
It was
right.
outdoors.
Right.
Ah, yeah, you can.
Yes.
There's really no cure for that.
Right.
No.
And we're a little worried about Stand Your Ground. However, Judy Tenuta is also doing panel, so we will grab her accordion to deflect bullets should it be necessary.
That's a good shield.
Right. Mm-hmm. Better than Kevlar, I think.
Well, you know,
I'll buy her another one. Okay, Rachel says, Steph and the Mooks, my hippie liberal mother got me hooked on your show during the 2008 presidential election, and I've been obsessed with you ever since.
Who isn't, really?
Right. So when my father surprised me and the fam with tickets to Fort Lauderdale Sexy Liberal Comedy Show for my 25th birthday, fun? Wow. Right? I immediately canceled my birthday plans to spend the evening with my real family. We're her real family.
Fun!
Wow! Oh, my God. And my radio family, looking forward to Saturday. Us too!
What a fun way to spend your birthday.
Well, we are Sexy Liberal family. You actually stepped in the fray because Jim Ward is out for the second day because his kitty is missing.
What?
So, I know. I don't understand the outdoor cat thing. You guys have an indoor cat.
Yeah,
I have indoor cats.
Emmy doesn't go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll go outside onto the patio for like a half a millisecond, and then she's like, no, this is gross.
Yeah.
This is gross.
Well, Jazz.
She lives mostly in the sink, as I recall.
Yeah, she does live in the sink.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jazz took a trip outdoors once because he jumped off the third floor balcony into the pool area downstairs.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And what happened?
Oh, I couldn't find him, and then I went downstairs to see where he was. He was down there huddled up in a corner just kind of looking really sad.
Aww.
Yeah.
Misadventure.
He cut his chin, but that was the only thing that...
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim has all outdoor cats, so I don't understand.
So how does the cat go missing?
I don't know. He's very upset. Second day, he's still missing. He's very depressed. He's been up all night.
Looking for the cat.
Say a little prayer for Jim and the kitty.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
really sad.
Julie in Seattle with a love letter for Jim, in case he's listening. Mama and Jim, I hope Jim's kitty comes home, but if he hasn't yet, tell Jim not to give up hope. True story, my beloved 15-year-old calico cat, Otto?
All right.
I was living on the edge of a huge area of logging roads and critters. After 5 days, I thought she was a goner. Then I went for a hike in the woods, and about a mile in, I heard a distinct yowling.
Oh.
She was stuck up about 30 feet up in a tree. We finally had to fetch a chainsaw. I don't know if Jim has...
Cut the tree down?
I don't know if Jim has lumberjack.
I would have gone for the hot firefighters. But you want to go with the chainsaw? Fine.
Anyway, Julie got her kitty back.
Aww. Oh, yeah. Good
Jim
news.
Does.
Good mm-hmm. news story.
Yeah. There's a lot of coyotes in L.A. That's what I would just
yeah.
say.
Stop,
I would be really...
Stop,
I'd be nervous
You're
to
make
have
him
an
nervous.
Outdoor.
You're going to make him
He's
nervous.
Not listening. He's probably sleeping
He's
after
sleeping.
48 hours. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to list all the things that could eat the cat. That's not helpful.
You mean like P-22, the mountain lion that lives right near our house? Here? Okay. I'm just
really?
Saying.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a mountain lion.
His name is P-22.
Yeah.
Is that like P-90X?
Right. He is in good shape. I think P-22 does do P-90X. I'm
why,
almost certain.
Why P-22?
I don't know if that's what they named it.
That's his tag number.
They tagged him. And,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, they got a picture of him right by the Hollywood sign. He was like one of those night cameras, and he was like,
Like awesome. A tourist, you know, at the Hollywood sign.
Right. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Look, I'm at the Hollywood sign.
Jazz pause.
Yeah, exactly.
Jazz pause. Spirit clause. Yeah, if I could count how many times. Do you know where the Hollywood sign is? We want to get a picture. Do you know where? It's like, oh, God's sakes. Really, people?
Just look up.
All
it's
right.
there. You can't miss it.
Hey, happy gay day.
Happy
so,
gay day.
Right? Jan Brewer, of course, the big news this morning, vetoed the... anti-gay bill. I don't know what else to call it.
Senate Bill 1062.
Right. That's too many numbers. What does P22 think about 1062? Was P22 for 1070?
Oh, Fox News has taken to calling it the religious freedom bill.
Oh, come on.
Seriously, yeah. That's what Fox News and the Wall Street Journal are calling it.
Yeah, like what do you call it? George Bush used to call it the, you know, friendly forests and the clean air, clean skies bills.
That was a Frank Luntz thing.
Right.
And he has since had a nervous breakdown and has gone into a world of sports and has abandoned politics.
Really? Has he really?
He has. After the last election where he predicted that all Republicans would win, he had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, dear. He probably would. He would like it if he used different talking points.
Yes.
Nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I forgot.
Isn't there some other phrase for that? Freedom from Sanity.
Yeah.
Act.
He like holed up in his house and didn't see anybody.
And now he's in sports
for months. Sports and Hollywood.
What?
He wants to do something.
Oh,
that.
You know who else is not doing so well is Brent Bozell, our good friend, who features me quite regularly on Newsbusters. He frequently busts the news that there is some liberal bias.
In liberal talk radio.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big news
for
everybody.
He's quite the sleuth.
He claimed CPAC was under attack on God himself because they briefly invited an atheist group to set up a booth.
Hmm.
It has recently been reported that he does not write any of his own books or columns. A publicist said that he did write that statement himself about the...
All right. You're going to pick one to write yourself.
Right.
Well,
okay.
All right.
No booths for atheists. No meals for gays. Okay. What's happening?
Who burped? Did someone burp?
One of my dogs just burped.
It was a dog burp.
That was weird.
For the record, that was not me.
Animals strike curious poses around Jackie.
Apparently, yes.
They feel the heat.
That was an incredibly loud dog burp.
That was.
Fred is kind of famous for that. Where does he get that sort of behavior from,
I have
Chris?
No idea.
John in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jackie. Hello, John.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Sorry, just switching you off the phone there. I just want to say a quick, I hope that your coworker's cat returns all right. And I also had a cat that was gone for 5 days in an area fraught with feline consuming creatures that wound up returning as well. So there still is hope. So good luck with that.
My ex's cat was lost for, I don't remember how long. It was very nerve wracking, a lot of wine consumption. It was at least 24 hours, and it was under the treadmill. So I'm just saying, look under the treadmill, everybody.
That's true. If with the proper motivation, they can stuff themselves into the spot areas. I wind up in my case, I don't know if this is the case in L.A., I'm sure it's more urban than where I was, but I wound up just leaving the door open to the house, and she just kind of let herself back in after a little while, so that worked out all right.
Aww.
But my question was, for your call screener, was I worked for a company that was in a service industry. And I was the estimator / salesperson in this application. And I went to visit with a client who self-identified as homosexual. She was there in this case with her partner. The client who did wind up being a client in this case, but the prospect in this case was kind of openly combative, just very difficult to deal with, at the office. I mean, the person kind of had their name on the grease board at this point when this person called. So they were just kind of just a general jerk to deal with, obviously having nothing to do with being homosexual. They're just a-holes everywhere. But,
right. They come in every variety.
Yeah.
They do, yeah. And in this case, my boss had some discussions with me about whether or not we were going to do the project based on the client displayed and demonstrated kind of difficulty to begin with. And my question was, we did wind up doing the project in this case, and it was one of those projects that we invariably lost money on because they were just impossible to deal with. But I guess my question in this case, because I know the impetus behind at least claimed Arizona motivation was the suit in New Mexico that was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question in this case, if we refuse to do business with this person based on their a-holish nature rather than their homosexuality, what's the protections in that case if it turns out that, you know, they say, hey, you know...
Are you saying where are the protections for holes? Is that what you're saying? Is there should be a hole protection?
No, I mean, I think what John was getting at is that if they decided to not do business with this person, would they come back and say they chose not to do business
because
with us
I'm
because
gay.
I'm gay? Yes.
Right. Right.
I don't, I mean, I, you know, you, you, I you could use an excuse for any. I mean, you could
right.
say that's it.
And for any protected class.
Right, but yeah. it sounds like that wasn't the case, that if they chose not to do business with this person, it was just because they chose if not to can, do business with this horrible
if
person.
If you can document why you choose right. not to do business with the person, then that will hold up in court.
I think the one thing we all can agree on is that question should have been longer.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I kid. Stop it. I kid. Listen, Mama has about one Chardonnay-soaked brain cell left, so you need to be concise with Mama, or I get lost in the middle of it.
I think he was trying to be delicate.
Oh, hi. Jackie Schechner's here.
I think he took his time trying to be delicate.
All
that's
right.
All.
All right.
At least that seems what he was trying
all
to do.
All right. We have, 4 million enrollment in Obamacare.
Woo-hoo!
Lots to talk to Nurse Jackie about and all of the news out of Texas and Arizona as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie
Miller. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 21 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schechner.
Hi.
Nurse Jackie, live in studio with us, and of course on panel with us for Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale, along with John Fugelsang and Carlos Alzraki. And then, not next week, the week after, John Fugelsang will be filling in for us when we're on vacation.
That's right.
Jackie Schechner will be his guest. It's all a magical circle of sexy liberal love.
It is.
Is he staying in your house?
I don't know. I offered. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I was thinking about that. Like, what an easy commute.
That's
to
what I told
fill
them.
In for
That's
you.
What I told him. All you got to do is stumble down the stairs. Trust me. All right.
He's got to run a comb through that hair, though.
No.
No, that hair. That kind of hair would get really bad bedhead.
No, the gals like the tousled.
Yeah, he's got that sexy bedhead thing.
The freshly looked, you know what I'm saying? Right? What?
Who's he going to get that from here?
He could bring the little woman with him.
This is a house of lesbians.
I think it's... Do people have
like a house of pie or something?
Not that kind of
thing. Does straight sex happen here?
Yes. Listen to me very carefully. I think he is bringing his giant baby, in fact.
Oh.
So I believe he may
is
be
he
bringing a little
his
woman.
Giant baby?
I think he's bringing the giant baby.
All right.
All right, everybody. All right. Newswoman extraordinaire, Jackie Schechner.
Does straight sex happen here?
It has been. It's going to happen. As Judy Tenuta would say. All right. Because if you've often pointed out, I am a horrible lesbian. So, you know, who knows?
But lesbian sex happen here.
All right. Listen, people, let's everybody focus.
All right,
focus.
Sorry.
Everybody focus. Newswoman extraordinaire Jackie Schechner here. Did you see that Ronan Farrow received the Walter Cronkite Award for Excellence in Journalism?
He's been on the air for like a hot minute.
This is his first week.
And excellence for like showing up? What is... You get an A for effort? What happened here?
I don't.
An A for attendance?
And I guess journalists were told no questions about the, you know, unpleasantness of family.
Ah.
Yeah, but how do you get an award for journalism when you're 26 years old and you've been on the air for a week?
Yeah, I guess, you know, whatever.
And
back in the day when Jackie Schechner had to walk 25 miles in the snow to get a journalism award.
And at his award for journalism event, he was banning journalists from doing their job.
Well, they claim that it didn't come from him, that it came from people around him that were blah, blah, blah. Anyway, right. No, I guess it's for his previous work with UNICEF, and he's worked with Hillary Clinton. He has a little bit of he graduated from college. He's a Rhodes Scholar.
He's a smarty, yeah.
He graduated at 15 from college with a Rhodes Scholarship.
Yeah, I mean, he's a smart kid,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I think that you probably give those kinds of awards to seasoned journalists.
To people
or at least
who've
people
had.
I think
had...
they say it's his previous work, because it was a little funny. I'm like, wow, you only need to have an MS. I could have gotten one. We had an MSNBC show for 3 days. Or was he
did.
When we filled in for Imus.
Yeah.
I could have gotten the Walter Cronkite Award.
Was he a published journalist? Or I mean, I've never seen him.
It was his humanitarian UNICEF and all that work.
But
I think,
it's a journalism award.
I don't. Listen, I'm not
this
in charge
smells...
of this.
Fishy. Yeah.
It's like back in the day when the Golden Globes used to be something you could, I heard this story that you used to be that you could kind of buy them.
Really?
Oh, well, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, those are critics from around the world.
They're foreigners.
Yeah, foreigners can be bought.
Yeah. No! I didn't have to say yes to that.
What was the game we were playing during this?
I'm just arbitrarily agreeing with someone. I mean, yes, foreign press can be bought. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't. Jackie Shecker.
Don't make me say these things.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information on that,
no.
On the irresponsible journalistic tendencies of Jackie Shecker since she's left our, you know, current. We can't be responsible.
Yes.
She just throws things
I
out willingly.
You, into that,
you
didn't
did
I?
Trick me into that.
What was the drinking game we played during the Golden Globes? Remember the Jacqueline Bisset speech? We were saying weird, drunk, or foreign, or all three.
Yeah, well, it's the Golden Globes. You're gonna get all three.
I think everyone there is pretty much. Yeah.
I'm gonna be in Fort Lauderdale for the Oscars this year.
Oh yeah,
that's right. That's on Sunday.
I'll be back Sunday. Right.
Be back.
Yeah, very exciting. Did you see this? I'm quitting my job. Thanks, Obamacare. And then she means thanks.
Yeah.
Oh. She means really thanks.
Oh, okay.
Now that Karen Willamus can get health insurance through Obamacare, she plans to quit teaching ninth grade English at the end of the school year. The 51-year-old found policies on the Colorado State Exchange for about $300 a month. That's less than she's paying now for her employer-sponsored coverage, less than half than what she paid on the individual market in 2007. For some, Obamacare is allowing them to become entrepreneurs or retire a few years early since they'll be able to find affordable individual coverage for the first time. Instead of eating bonbons on her couch, Jackie, as I'm sure Fox News is already saying,
she's going to go be.
She's starting her own business with her teen daughter, publishing materials for non-native English speakers and others looking to improve their literacy.
Oh, they're going to hate that.
Oh, well, God,
hate that.
Right.
They will
that.
Hate that.
Oh, boy.
She expects to work even more now than she does now and hire two or three other people. Again, this is what we were saying.
Yeah, that's the
thing,
issue of job lock. Is a lot
right.
of people stayed in jobs that made them unhappy, or they weren't making enough money, or that weren't good for them for other reasons, because they needed the health insurance. So now that you have the opportunity to get something more affordable on the exchange in the private market, you can't be denied for pre-existing conditions. People are taking the opportunity to go do things they wanted to do and not get stuck in a job they don't like.
I thought Republicans were all about the small business owner and the entrepreneurship and the...
And whatever!
And the listening to both sides.
Right, and the listening to both sides and then calling into...
Fair and balanced.
Liberal radio shows. Here's another one. For some, Obamacare frees them to leave a job before they qualify for Medicare. Family values, something mm-hmm. that spending more time with your grandkids, whatever. They used to be for that.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this to you? Like Bob Dole
no
with a pen. I don't know. Edward Perry's job as a grocery clerk has caused him constant back and knee pain in recent years, but he continued to work because he needed insurance. Obamacare allowed him to retire in December after 39 years, blah, 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 4 months. His retiring at age 57 allowed a more junior employee to move up on the job. Had Obamacare not existed, he'd have to tough it out until mm-hmm. he qualified for Medicare,
yeah.
right, or pay $500 a month for COBRA. Instead, he's paying $50 a month per policy. As he sees it, the $450 he would have sent to an insurance company is going to buy groceries, fix his mm-hmm. car, take a vacation with his girlfriend. He said, that's money I spend in the local economy creating and saving jobs. These are the stories Democrats... Why am I doing this? I'm not sure why I'm being so emphatic this morning.
Yeah.
These are the stories Democrats need to talk about in the election year.
Do I need to remove that pen from
no.
your hand?
But don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. I was listening to you guys a little bit on the ride over. And it's unfortunate that the stories we're hearing are the fake stories coming from the right, and we're not hearing all of the smart stuff coming from the left and how this has been a success. And look, I say this all the time. It's not... you
look at that.
Pen.
Krugman, healthcare horror hooey.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Yes.
And I will never say that this law is perfect.
Right.
I will admit that it has problems. I will admit it needs to be improved in some ways. There are certainly ways along the way that we're going to make it better.
Right.
Or people will make it better, those who are continuing to work on it. But I don't know that it's not doing great things for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or it has the potential to. And we should talk about that more
yes.
often.
We will continue to talk about that next with Nurse Jackie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Market this to drunks or us or
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What was that?
That's my Elaine dance. Okay, 34
She's having a spasm.
Yeah, do we need to put a pencil in your tongue?
You thought that was medical in nature?
Yeah,
I'm fine.
You need to turn off the strobe lights. You're having a seizure.
Somebody help mommy. All right. Jackie Shetner, Nurse Jackie is live in studio with us. You just, you're so cute. You just babysat your boyfriend's nephew.
Okay. Yes, who is nine months old. Right. Yes, and it was only a couple hours, so it was pretty safe. There wasn't a lot of fear that I was going to do some damage in 2 hours.
Right.
But, I looked at the child, and this is probably not good advertising for me, but I looked at the child and thought, kids are kind of boring.
Right.
what are you supposed to do at that age?
Do they have
any new thoughts, anything?
I mean, he's cute. And after an hour of banging blocks together, I thought, all right, what else can we do here? You try to read them a book. They don't get it. They want to eat the book.
But you said you got paid.
I did. So I did. I got paid. So I put out a tweet that said, nothing makes you feel young again like figuring out how to spend your babysitting money. Which my favorite response to that was Big D Tim, who said to me, when you say deciding, you mean what vintage and varietal, right?
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
This is true. No, it was great. It was great. It was fun. It was good birth control for a little while.
There you go. There you go. Awesome. Oh, and you met, you were at the big party Saturday at my house, and you met Carlos.
Carlos, who had a baby strapped to his chest.
Now, that is a family man, because he had a baby strapped to his chest, and he brought another one along, and the wife.
It was very hangover, with the baby strapped to his chest. Of course, I didn't know he had a little boy or girl, and I was like, oh, how old is he? And he goes, she. I was like, okay. Right. Of course, my boyfriend's like, the pink socks, Jackie, the pink socks.
You're supposed to look for clues.
And I don't know. No, but I'm not a parent, but I wasn't. The face was this way, so I had to pop it off like Alien to see what it was. Oh, nice. Ooh, she's pretty.
The little three-year-old's adorable. I mean, his wife is gorgeous. Yes. And the little three-year-old's adorable, too. So he's got a nice-looking family there.
I know.
He's running away to Fort Lauderdale.
Sexy liberal family. We will all be together at Fort Lauderdale with your real family and your radio and TV family.
Yes, my real family. I'm from South Florida. So.
This is funny. You told your mom to warn Dan, her husband.
My mom's significant other, Dan, who Stephanie has met.
Who is lovely.
He's lovely. And I just said to my mom, I just preemptively, just tell Dan that it's Pride weekend. Like, I just don't want him to get caught off guard. And she's like, no, he's good. He's going to be fine. And I said, I just don't want him to be surprised. I'm like, it probably could get a little raunchy.
Or as my mother would say, a little blue.
Yeah. A little blue. There might be an assless chap running around somewhere.
Just one assless chap. No, so he's great, and I'm sure he's going to be fantastic, and he'll love the show. But I wanted to just make sure.
Would love to be a fly on the wall with her mom preparing him.
You've met my mom.
I have. She's just as you would imagine Jackie Shetner's mom would be. She's pretty and smart.
Aww.
She's funny.
I'm very lucky.
And nice.
And can she put him back?
No, my mom's not a big. Oh, this is a great my mom drinking story. My mom's not a big drinker. My mom doesn't drink at all. I mean, she'll have a glass of wine from time to time. And I remember when I was a little bit younger, my mom would have like a glass of wine and be like, "I'm tipsy," She's not a big drinker.
Right.
So there's a place.
And
called
then doing the mom dances.
Yeah, I mean, she's adorable, right? So there's a place called the Yard House, which is a chain that has like every beer in the world, right? So we used to go to the Yard House. My mom would say, like, it's my goal to try every beer at the Yard House at some point. I looked at my mother. I'm like, you have never had a beer in your entire... I've never seen her drink a beer. I'm like, when are you going to go through all 100 beers? She's like, I like the taste of beer, but I just never really drink. I was like, how are you going to get through 100 at the Yard House?
I'm like that, too. I like the idea of it, and then I have a sip. I'm like, okay, you can have it back. I just wanted to try it.
Yeah. So she likes, in theory, doing the whole around-the-world Yard House. It'll never happen.
Right. Hmm.
But it was really cute. She's like,
she hasn't hung out with me for an entire weekend in Fort Lauderdale, so we'll see. Oh, by the way, now that you brought that up, I have to. I do have a party stack in honor of our big party this weekend.
Okay.
Because, I can find these anywhere. The stories about wine being good for you.
Oh, duh.
I'm just saying. A lot of people enabling me with these stories. Studies. A study published in the journal Cancer Cell International suggests red wine slows the spread of lung cancer.
That's good news.
Much more pronounced with red wine than white. Red wine may promote heart health. It may reduce men's risk of developing prostate cancer. Drinking a bit of red wine on the regular could keep the blues away.
Ooh.
Last year, a study found
people... Yeah, until you're hungover, then you're blue all the next day.
Found that people over 55 who drank a glass of alcohol a day were less likely to be depressed than those who drank more or less.
Ooh, so you got to stop at one.
Right.
Glass of alcohol.
Well, I mean, it depends on how big the glasses are.
Even if you eat a lot, red wine might add years to your life. That's according to a Harvard study on mice.
Oh, get mice drunk?
Is that on your card? What do you do? Get mice drunk. Get mice drunk.
I'm actually going to sponsor a study for white wine. It goes well about all the benefits of red wine.
I like white wine.
The Mediterranean diet, which is one of the healthiest there is all about drinking one glass of red wine at dinner.
Not breakfast.
I'm not sure I've ever stuck to the one glass of dinner thing. But however, I think the point is well taken. That there are lots of magical health effects. Lots of European countries, they drink wine every day, I'm just saying.
Yeah, for lunch, for dinner.
Sure. Come on, help me. Enable Mama. Let's go.
As an afternoon snack.
And now that you don't have to leave the house, you're not in danger of driving anywhere.
Right. Woo.
And thanks to Amazon, you can get your wine delivered.
Whoopie-doo.
Thanks for helping
by
to
the way,
shut it.
Travis had to order more toner for our printer on Amazon.
Yeah.
And he said, Steph, since I ordered Amazon, I keep getting advertisements for wine in my inbox constantly.
What? They recognized your address?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
All right, so we were talking about this whole fearmonger. We talked about this last week on Fox about, oh, it's a job killer, Obamacare, 2.5 million, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's people like Craig Mason, 59, Jackie. Mm-hmm. You know him from nowhere. He has said he felt
tied. And this would be regarding.
He said he felt tied to his job as an engineer at a large defense contractor because he and his wife needed health insurance. A diabetic, he couldn't have gotten insurance on the individual market. Now, however, he's thinking of leaving his employer in a few years to focus more on his side job, repairing and building guitars and other string instruments. He wants to spend more time with his three grandchildren. He said, I don't want to be tied to a large corporation. The Affordable Care Act may be just a vehicle to bridge the gap till I'm eligible for Medicare. That's part of what I think they don't like is they want people tied to corporations with no options.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's part of what was going on. I mean, it was good for the insurance companies in that they would have these large pools where they could kind of spread the risk amongst a large pool, and that's why you weren't screened for pre-existing conditions when you worked for a large corporation because the pools were larger. But now that they can't deny people based on pre-existing conditions, you have access in the individual market, it makes a lot more sense for people to go out and try to get it on their own. Now that they have access to it. But that's why it was beneficial because they could have this large pool of people when you worked for a large company. But then, you know, of course, then you go and continue COBRA if you lose your job.
Right.
And that's 102% of what your company was paying. So that wasn't cost effective by any stretch. So you had no option.
Right.
Let's get people just clamoring. They queue up all week, you know, to talk to Jackie. Joy in Santa Cruz, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Joy. Oh, Joy's going to be mad because now Lindsay in Ohio has bumped her. Oops, wait a minute. What did I do?
Now
I have Joy. Hello, Joy. Go ahead.
Hi. Happy morning.
Happy morning.
And it's wonderful rain. I've really missed this.
Yeah. Our drought is over at least, right?
Well, no.
No.
We're not making a dent in it.
Well, anyway, it's going to rain all weekend. Go ahead.
I was calling for Jack in regards to Jackie being there because she knows about the health care problems and stuff that are going on. And I signed up for Blue Shield, but now Blue Shield won't cover my doctor, or my doctor won't take the Blue Shield because Blue Shield isn't paying.
Yeah, that's a big problem, and I have started to make some calls to try to figure out who actually listed on the Blue Shield website is accepting the Covered California plan. What's happening is, to break it down, we talked about this a little bit before,
last week, right.
Is that Blue Shield is offering plans through the Covered California exchange. And even if it's a PPO, you've got in-network benefits and then you're out-of-network benefits, and they've shrunk the network down really low. So they're covering a lot less. And what they're doing is either they're not allowing doctors to enroll in the network, they're picking and choosing what doctors and facilities are participating, or if they're giving the doctors or the facilities the opportunity to participate, the reimbursement rates are so unbelievably low that the doctors and facilities are opting out.
Right. It almost feels like sabotage to me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it seems to be intentional. I've never heard of something where there's a PPO where they've limited the network to the point where it's not cost effective, or at least it has the potential to not be cost effective. I did a little bit of the comparison just for myself personally, and it seems to make more sense to do the PPO only because you'll at least get some coverage for your out-of-network benefits.
Right.
Like my general practitioner is not in this network. He does take Blue Shield, but he can't get in touch with anybody to be able to say yes or no as to whether or not he'll participate in this. And they said when they finally get through, they're afraid that the rates are so low that they're not going to be able to participate. But I'll continue to see him. They'll pay 50% of what they consider allowable. It's not going to be a great benefit for me financially, but it's better than paying having to pay out of pocket, and it's better than paying $700, $800 a month for my premium.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I figure the frequency with which I have to see my general practitioner financially, it balances out better for me than what it was costing me before through Cobra, which was about $700 a month.
Jack, we were talking about, you obviously read Krugman's piece, too, about healthcare horror hooey.
Well, it was the piece in Slate that I really liked about how they can't seem to find.
Has anyone in America actually been harmed by Obamacare? Because we were saying, I mean, the fact that the ones that they picked for really high profile stories about, they all turn out to be crap. And like you couldn't have researched that better. That was your official State of the Union response. And you found a woman that, you know, this was this easily debunked.
You know, when I was with Healthcare for America Now, one of the things that we did is when we had all of these stories, we did a lot of this. We collected people with stories to testify before Congress or to stand up at rallies and tell their stories or to be the face of the fight for healthcare reform. We had to seriously vet these people. And I had a staffer who spent a lot of time. She was a former journalist, and she spent a lot of time making phone calls and talking to these people and would come to me and say, here's the story. Here are the potential pitfalls. You know, here's where this may be an issue. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, everybody vetted just fine.
Right.
But every once in a while, you'd find a side story that may have been, and we would eliminate using that person because we didn't want to run into the problem of,
Well,
and it sounds like the other side isn't doing any of that.
Well, this is the party that presumably vetted Sarah Palin for vice president. So maybe their vetting process leaves a little to be desired. But, yeah, I mean, just to quickly before we break here, it's Julie Boonstra was her name,
Oh, the one in the ad.
Right. This is the one Mother Jones is talking about. Julie Boonstra, whose insurance was canceled, replaced with a new policy after Obamacare took effect. She was diagnosed with leukemia. Right, they used her in the ad. Mm-hmm. Now she says her treatment's unaffordable, but when Glenn Kessler checked into her story, here's what he found. First, she had some initial problems with the Obamacare site.
Right.
No surprise there. Then she found a plan. It allowed her to keep her doctor. She's still being treated. Her old plan cost of $13,200 a year plus low out-of-pocket expenses. Her new plan costs a maximum of $13,202 a year.
Yeah, she won't hit a lifetime cap.
Right.
She won't have to fork over out of pocket things that she can't afford. I mean, it's a much better plan for her in the long term.
Right. Boonstra kept her doctor. Her new plan is on net less expensive than her old plan. Presumably, she's no longer required to compromise on the type of chemotherapy she receives. Mm-hmm. That's another important thing. In other words, it appears to be superior on virtually every metric. And then, of course, she was, you know, unavailable and then only went on Fox News. But
basics
of this.
If you debunk the story, you're attacking the woman with leukemia.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The ad implies Boonstra flatly can't afford coverage anymore. It implies she can no longer see her old doctor. None of it's true.
No.
It implies Obamacare is killing her. None of it is true. No. Boonstra's care is better and cheaper than it was before. The only downside is her payments are slightly more erratic than the past. But anyway, this is what Mother Jones says. Here's my question. If this is the best AFP can do, does that mean no one is truly being harmed by Obamacare? These are people with all the money. The Koch brothers. Mm-hmm. This is the National Republican Party that puts Chuck Norris Rogers up. With another fake story?
Morris Rogers.
Right.
Yeah, sure. They can't vet or they're not interested. And that's what makes me so sad is that they're not interested in sussing out the truth. The media is not interested in sussing out. I mean, these guys are doing some great, men and women are doing some great reporting online. And I would encourage you to go take a look at some of these articles that are being written about the truth behind these so-called victims. But it's frustrating when people take these stories on their word and they don't do the very basic background checks because they're just not true.
Right, they're falling apart with just the barest scrutiny.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, 48 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Jackie's Healthcare Corner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
I need to pay attention to the actual dialogue.
You're already on the air. People can hear you talking about how ridiculous the plot of Gravity was.
Yeah.
You know, it's not ridiculous. Sandra Bullock's going to make $70 million from that film.
I can't believe you didn't like Gravity.
I didn't dislike
it. I thought it was so implausible. Yeah, I was like, oh, please. Like, she survived that.
It was the moment when George Clooney was having the dialogue with her about where are you from and what do you have
your kid doing?
He was like, engaging her in conversation because they were doing some really hard stuff way above the earth.
You don't think they had that conversation somewhere on the way up to space, maybe,
matter.
Or in the time they spent together?
Right.
It didn't matter what the conversation was.
It
was
just chatty. Oh, by the way, there's some space debris coming out. Are we in any hurry? No. Blah, blah, blah. So,
and it just, like, missed her at all times. I don't know. I mean,
oh, okay, now it's too late.
Did either of you see it in 3D?
No.
And then I thought, oh, now is she going to get eaten by a shark? Oh, for God's sakes, really?
Sharknado. No, I think if you saw it in 3D, you thought it was an amazing piece of filmmaking.
Yes,
I think
it was.
If you didn't, you paid attention to the actual dialogue, and you thought, eh.
I can't do 3D. It gives me a headache, and I don't like the glasses, and they put it in my nose.
I don't like 3D either.
Oh, my.
Right?
God. Yeah, I'm an old person.
Well, only certain movies are good in 3D. Avatar was great in 3D.
All right. Paula Dean says...
You're one of the three people who had never saw Avatar.
I never saw Avatar.
Really?
What's wrong with you? Why are you racist against blue people? All right. Paula Dean says, I'm just like that black football player who recently came out.
Oh, no. How?
So much
Paula Dean's gay?
That.
Yeah.
She's a gay black football player?
So much
Well, that'll
wrong with
make
that
everything
sentence.
Better.
How is she just like him?
Okay. Well, yes. Yes. Okay. Would you like it? Yeah. Let's see. I feel, blah, blah, blah. It's like that black football player who recently came out. He said, I just want to be known as a football player. I don't want to be known as a gay football player. I know exactly what he's saying.
She doesn't want to be known as a
gay football player?
Right. Butter user?
I don't think many people think of her as a gay black football player. I will give her that.
No. What did his race have to do with? Why did she introduce race into that? Like that black football player that came out.
That's just, it probably was a victory that she called him black.
She's making progress.
It's kind of like Jan Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know,
yikes. Okay.
You know, she used an economic reason. Okay, we'll give her credit.
Oh, she also said she empathizes with the Duck Dynasty guy.
Right. Of course she does.
Phil Robertson, of course she
does. You know what, Paula Dean?
She empathizes with him. She said, continues to insist she would never hurt anybody intentionally. And she said she was so fixated on what people thought about her online, she could not get off the computer except to go to the bathroom and eat. That is, you know what?
Maybe she's still eating. That's good enough.
I don't think she's ever stopped eating.
Listen, I do not...
Is that rude? I'm sorry.
No,
I don't go online to see what people say about me. That's like the internet.
You never read the
bathroom.
Comments.
Do not go in there.
No.
Although,
If you want to come out with your self-esteem intact, do not go in there.
Never read the
When comments. I print out a Newsbusters story for you, I always make sure to print out the comments.
Thanks.
Because they're the funny part.
We use them for comedy.
Yeah.
All right, and then they always... She calls herself the sexy liberal. I'm like... I wasn't talking about me. We're talking about the audience. It's...
But
sexy to be liberal.
You
All right.
are. You are sexy liberal.
Oh. By the way, did you see this thing, this Paula Dean thing while we're... This was, she did a beachside cooking demonstration.
Oh, God.
Right.
No, what
she prepared chicken and dumplings at the South Beach
wine and food
festival.
Why was she invited?
I don't know. She began by asking the crowd if they minded if she talked about something serious.
Oh, goodness.
Because South Beach is all about serious conversation. At the wine festival. She admitted, she said she was glad to be back. She said, I'm not a quitter. She said, some people say I've never apologized, so if anybody did not hear me apologize, I'd be like, oh God. She went on and on with those apologies, and they all just got worse.
She should apologize for the butter.
Food Network star Robert Irvine joined Dean on stage before a roaring crowd. Irvine got down on his hands and knees while Dean straddled his back and rode him across the stage, and she yelled, I'm back in the saddle. I think the only good news there is that was a white guy, because otherwise...
I think the good news there is that it happened off camera. We didn't have to see it.
I don't. All right, let's try to get one more in with Jackie. Lindsay in Ohio, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to add in a little thing for Jim. My kitty was gone for 3 months and came back okay, and he's
good.
Been out
3 months.
Before.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. I hope we don't not see Jim for 3 months, but okay.
Okay. Well, right. A friend of mine has heard 4 different things from 4 different people regarding whether or not he qualifies for a subsidy. And we're in Ohio, and I don't know if that's just here or who these people are that they have helping these people.
Lindsay, hang on. I did not realize the time. Can you just give a real quick answer? Because we only have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that because basically you got to find out from through healthcare.gov or your local exchange whether or not you qualify. So I don't know who he or she is speaking with. You'd have to get some more detail on that.
All right. Fly safe to Fort Lauderdale, little Jackie Sunshine.
I'll see y'all there.
We will see you at Florida Sexy Liberal Saturday night, Fort Lauderdale. Do it. All right. And then tomorrow, Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying we will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.